one of the highlights of the davening on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, especially in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is of course on the Sana Tokef. I understand that Rabbi Daniel Feldman spoke about Simcha on Rosh Hashanah in the previous shiur. So if you look at this tefillah on the Sana Tokef, it's the opposite of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. There are all kinds of other potential references to Simcha on Rosh Hashanah and the issue of Tainis, the issue of Ahasiyenu, the issue of Atodienu. But when it comes to Nesana Tokef, you don't get the sense that there's any Simcha on Rosh Hashanah at all, on the contrary. On page 1, on Nesana Tokef, Kedusha Sayom, Kihuno Rava Ayom, Kubalti Nase Malchusecha, Yikom Bechesed Kisecha, we talk about the fact that it's a day of no Rava Ayom, it's awesome, it's scary, it's frightening. Hashem sits on the Kisei Hadin and he writes and he inscribes and he knows and thinks and remembers. The Malachim themselves are frightened and scary and are nervous. It's not only human beings, but even the angels. It's a day of judgment. And all of humanity passes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come back to Kivnei Maro. And if the first paragraph is not scary enough, the second paragraph certainly accomplishes that. We talk about who will live, who will the opposite, and how will they do the opposite, what will happen to them. Ba'esh, ba'mayim, ba'cherev, ba'chaya, ba'rov, ba'tzama, ba'rash, ma'gefa, chanika, sekila. It's mamish, very, very scary, very frightening. It really puts us face to face with Rosh Hashanah as a Yom HaDin. The stakes are high, the implications are enormous, and we conclude Uchuva Tfilot Tzedakah Ma'avir Nesroa HaGzeira. There's a very famous story that's associated with Nesana Tokef that appears for the first time on page 2 in the Or Zeruah that was written in the 13th century. Yitzchak Rav Moshe of Vienna, who's the Mechaber of the Sefer Or Zeruah, it's one of the Sifrei Halacha in Ashkenaz, was written in the first half of the 13th century. Rav Yitzchak Rav Moshe Or Zeruah died somewhere around 1250, somewhere around the middle of the 13th century. He wrote a Sefer Or Zeruah. We have two Halachim. It goes on in Yonei Halacha. He has a section on Rosh Hashanah. And at the very end of his section on Rosh Hashanah, he tells us this very, very famous story. And I'd like to read parts of it for you because I'm going to be dealing with this story and the implications of this story. Matzasi michtav yado shel Rav Ephraim mibona b'Rav Yaakov, sherav Amnon mimagensa yasad unesana tokef al mikra harasha iramo. V'zeh lashono. And then what continues is maase b'Rav Amnon mimagensa. So the first thing to realize is that there are two strata in this text. Number one is the 13th century strata written by the Or Zeruah. And the second, the primary piece of this text, is the 12th century text written by Rabbi Ephraim of Bonn. In other words, Rabbi Yitzchak Or Zeruah gives us his reference. He gives us the source. And he says, I'm not telling you the story. I'm telling you a story. And I'm not just telling you a story. I'm copying over, v'zeh lashono, word for word, a story in a manuscript in a Ksav Yad that I found from Rabbi Ephraim of Bonn. So we know a lot about Rabbi Yitzchak Or Zeruah, who lived in the 13th century, and we know a lot more about Rabbi Ephraim of Bonn. Rabbi Ephraim of Bonn lived at the end of the 12th century, and he wrote Sefer Zechira, in which he describes what happened to the Jewish community in Ashkenaz during the time of the Crusades. And by the Crusades, I mean not only the First Crusade in 1096, but the Second Crusade, the Third Crusade, the Fourth Crusade. Separate from the Crusades is a whole story about what happened to the Jews in Blois in 1171. He is a chronicler, Rabbi Ephraim of Bonn. He bases his material on manuscripts, on works that he saw, as well as eyewitness accounts, and writes it up as a Sefer Zechira. Rabbi Ephraim of Bonn is living smack in the middle of the time when Jews in the country and communities in which he is living, when Jews are being confronted by the stark choice of either conversion to Christianity or death. This was a staple of the Crusades. It was a staple of essentially Christian Jewish life in the 12th century, where repeatedly, Jews are given a choice, conversion or death. So that's the world in which he's living. It's a world that he describes in his Sefer Zechira, and we know a great deal about it. Now, according to Rabbi Yitzchok Zavua, he found Matzasi Miksav Yado Shar Ephraim of Bon. He found the manuscript, Miksav Yad of Ephraim of Bon, where Rabbi Ephraim of Bon tells us the following story. Now, notice first, how does he say, what verb does he use when he describes what Rav Amnon Mimagensa did with this work in the Ksav Yad of Ephraim of Bon? Rav Amnon Mimagensa Yasad Unasadato Kef Kedusha Sayom. How do you translate the word Yasad? What?
Established.
Established. Established. Interesting. Established. Yasad. Any other way to translate?
Founded.
What?
Founded.
Founded. Or?
Originated.
Originated or composed. Right. What word did you use?
Established.
Okay, now does established mean
instituted.
That he composed it? Instituted. Does instituted mean that he composed? Or does not necessarily mean that he composed? If it said Yasad, if you read Yasad, how would you read Yasad? That he composed or he instituted?
Instituted. A fundamental part of something.
Instituted. Okay, instituted. Keep that thought. Vizelashono. Now, Vizelashono of whom? Vizelashono of whom? Of Rabbi Ephraim of Bon. Ma'aseh Rav Amnon Mimagensa, Shehaya Godol Hador V'Asher Miyuchas V'Yifei Torah V'Yifei Ma'ariv. He's a great, great person. And they began to hack him and give him a hard time, pressure him, Sheyafech L'Dasam, that he should convert to their religion being Christianity. And he refused. Vayikad Abram Elav Yom Yom V'Lo Sham Alohem. This is the first of many, many biblical allusions that are going to keep on popping up as you read this. We don't have time to read the whole thing, but should you, and I hope you will, you'll see it repeatedly. They keep on pressuring him. Finally, one day, finally, one day, every day they pressure him. He says, no. Finally, one day, Shanganik, he had it. And he says, you know what? Leave me alone. Just go away. Give me 3 days and let me think about it. Parenthesis. Think that Rav Amnon had a hava mina that he would in fact do this. He just wanted to get them to move away from him. No sooner does he leave, he becomes very upset. How could he have done this? How could he even have given the impression that he had a hava mina that he would want to do this? Yavo Albeso, and he stops eating and he stops drinking, he gets sick. All of his friends and his beloved ones try to comfort him. Vayimo en lehisnachem. I'm going to die like this. Terrible, what I did was horrible. On the third day, they call for him. Now the time is up. You said you would give us 3 days. He refuses to go. And then the king sends Vayosef Od Hatzar Shaloach Sarim Rabim Benechvadim Eile. Once again, the biblical parallel. And he refuses to go. Finally, he's forced to go. And the king says, the Hegmon says, no, where have you been? You said you'd be here. And he said, you're right, I did a terrible thing. And therefore, I want to suggest my punishment. My punishment is that you should cut my tongue off, because my tongue spoke inappropriately when my tongue said that I would consider this for 3 days and come back and tell you. So the Hegmon says, no, Adarab, on the contrary, your tongue spoke appropriately. The fact that your tongue said that you're going to consider it for 3 days means that that was a good thing. It shows that you were really possibly considering the potential of converting to Christianity. So that's not the punishment. The punishment is going to be, I'm going to cut off your legs, because your legs were supposed to deliver you here after 3 days, and they didn't. And he proceeds to cut off his legs, and then he continues to cut off all the limbs of his body. And then every time he says, "Nu, are you ready to convert?" And Rav Amnon says, "No." And he cuts off the next finger. "Are you ready to convert?" He says, "No." And he cuts off the next finger until Nebuch, nothing is left, and he puts him on what's called a mugain or a shield, and he sends him home. Acharat varma elu, about two-thirds down, the line beginning mitiv. Achad Verma Ele Korav Moed Vihigia Rosh Hashanah. Bikesh Mikrovav Mosei Soso Lebeis HaKnesses and Kol Pirkei Etzba Osov HaMeluchim. Apparently the Pirkei Etzba Osov, the fingers, were preserved somehow, and we don't know exactly which time of year this whole story took place, but now we're holding him before Rosh Hashanah. He wants to be brought into shul. They bring him to shul, and at a particular point during davening, he tells the shliach tzibur, "Hamtei ma'at va'akadesh es Hashem ha'godol, v'yam v'kol ram u'v'chein l'cha asal l'kedusha, k'lomar shakidash li'ashimcha malchuscha v'yehudecha." He now wants to be mekadesh em shamayim. V'achar kach omar u'nesane tokev kedusha sayom. Notice the verb v'achar kach omar. Should come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu Fitzidu Kadin Emes. The truth is, and he continues until the end. And he dies. Now, he finished reciting with the Sana Tokef next to the Shia during Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, he dies. Again, you see the biblical parallels. Achar hadvarim v'ha'emes asher hua la Rav Amno v'nispakesh b'yeshiva shel Maila v'yom ha'shlishi l'tara rosso, 3 days later, after he passes away, nireh b'maros ha'layla, he appears in a dream, the Rabbana Kolonimus, ben Rabbana Meshulam, ben Rabbana Kolonimus, ben Rabbana Moshe, ben Rabbana Kolonimus, v'limeid lo esapio tahiu. When the son of Tokyo produces him, he teaches him this piyut by itzavolo and commands him l'shloach oso b'chol tfutzo sagolo, that is, he should spread it and send it to all the reaches of the diaspora. Lihios lo eid v'zikaron, it should be a testimony and a memory for him. Vayas hagaon kein, and the gaon Rav Kolonimus does it. Now, from this passage, there emerges a number of historical facts. Number one, that there was a Jew by the name of Rav Amnon who lived in Paris, who had something to do with this tefillah, who at the very least recited it. Perhaps Yosad means composed it. Perhaps Yosad does not mean composed it, but had something to do with it. Certainly in the earliest strata of the text, in the 12th century strata of Rav Ephraim Ubon, it says Amar, not Yosad. And that there's somebody by the name of Rav Kolonimus who is ultimately the one who succeeded in publicizing this particular tefillah. Now, the first problem is that we don't know of any Rav Amnon who lived in Mainz in the 11th century or in the 12th century or in the 13th century. Rav Amnon is not a German name, it's not an Ashkenaz name, but Amnon is an Italian name. There is no independent evidence for the existence of such a person anywhere. And according to the description, he's described by Rabbi Ephraim Avon as a Godel HaDor and an Asher and a Miyuchas. So this Godel HaDor and Asher and Miyuchas simply is not found anywhere else in any other document. The second point is that the tefillah beginning, when the Sana Tokev Kedusha Sayom Kihuna Rav Ayom Uvos and Osim Al Chosecha V'yiko Mechesed Kesecha V'seisha V'ala Be'emes is all found in the earliest strata of the Geniza documents. And the earliest strata of the Geniza documents places it somewhere between the 6th and 7th century. So the earliest strata of the Geniza documents go as far back as the 6th to the 7th century, and the latest opinion is that it was authored by probably the Python by the name of Yanai. Yanai was Bismano, as famous as Rabbi Elazar HaKalir was Bismano. We know Rabbi Elazar HaKalir much, much more than we know Yanai, but there was a major Paitan by the name of Yanai, and there are books of Yanai's piyutim that have been published, but they haven't entered into the liturgy, not on Tisha B'Av and not on the Sholosh Regalim, so we really don't know about Yanai. But Yanai was a major Paitan who lived in the middle of the first millennia in Eretz Yisrael, and probably he is the one who actually composed these words on the Sanatok of Kedusha Sayyid. So therefore, by the time we come to the 12th century, it's clear, and it must be absolutely clear, that whoever Rav Amnon was, Rav Amnon did not compose this, and maybe Yosad, even in the 13th century, or Zeruah's version of Rav Ephraim of Bon Yosa does not mean composed, but it means instituted, because it was already in existence, and he instituted later on. Now, at this point, I just want to say that in the 12th century, the ethos of Ashkenazi Jewry was precisely engaged in facing this tremendous challenge of conversion or death. That this was the story of Jewish life in the 12th century, in the time of the Crusades, and Rabbi Ephraim of Bonn is developing this story, or repeating this story, or circulating this story to strengthen the martyrological behavior of his co-religionists. That this story becomes a paradigmatic representation of the kind of behavior he would like Jews to engage in. That not only chas v'shalom are you not allowed to convert to Christianity, that not only if chas v'shalom you're given the choice of conversion or death, clearly conversion can't be an option, but even ahava mina is inappropriate. Even to say, I'll take 3 days, I'll think about it, even ahava mina, a potential ahava mina, or giving the impression that there's ahava mina, is so absolutely and totally unacceptable. So this story becomes rooted and becomes considered to be absolutely a true story, becomes rooted in Ashkenazi psyche in the early Middle Ages and makes its way into our tradition and our Masorah all the time. You should know that originally the piyut was meant to be recited in the Sana Tokef on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. In Yanai's text, it's the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And then when it comes to France in the 12th century, 13th century, it's the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And when it moves to Poland later on, in the Polish Machzorim, we find it for the first time, also for Yom Kippur. We say in the Sana Tokef, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Originally it was only Rosh Hashanah, and then later on it became the second day of Rosh Hashanah, then Yom Kippur. And what it reflects really is the Italian provenance of Ashkenazi culture, of Ashkenazi Torah culture. The whole Kandolimus family is extremely well known. Torah begins in Ashkenaz at the beginning of the 10th century when the Kandolimus family moves from Italy to Ashkenaz. So it starts with Eretz Yisrael, with the Churban Bayis Sheni, it goes to Italy. Churban Bayis Sheni was by the Romans. They take Jews to Italy, to Rome. Torah develops in that first millennia in Italy. Rabbeinu Tam says in the Sefer HaYashar later on, referring to this earlier period, Ki mi bari teitzei Torah, udvar Hashem me otranto. Bari and Otranto are two cities on the heel of the boot in Italy. Ad hayom hazeh, there are cities called Bari and Otranto if you go to Italy. And Rabbeinu Tam says in the 12th century that Ashkenazi Torah comes mi bari teitzei Torah, udvar Hashem me otranto. It's rather audacious to take what the phrase says and to substitute Bari for Tzion and Otranto for Yerushalayim, but it's Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer HaYashar. Gives you a sense of the power of Torah scholarship in Italy, and because of the Kolonimus family, it is transferred when they transfer themselves from Italy to Ashkenaz. So you have the Amnon Kolonimus connection, you have the Italy Ashkenaz connection, and this story speaks to what's going on in the Ashkenazi world at that time, and becomes extremely, extremely popular. Now this nafka mina, the fact that it was written by, in all likelihood, by Yanai, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to somebody who lived in Ashkenaz in the time of the early Balei HaTosfos, will figure very prominently very shortly in my presentation. I want to now deal with some themes, some major themes of this very, very important tefila. To my mind, frankly, this historical fact tremendously enhances the power of the tefillah. It's now 500 years older than I had ever thought it was. If you want to find out more about the historicity of what I'm telling you, if you look at the top of the first page, there's two articles that I wrote down for you, for bibliography for you to look at. And if you look at those articles, you'll find out anything you wanted and more about the historicity of this tefillah. And both of them, the article in Sion and in Nituim by Abraham Frankel and Yaakov Spiegel, deal with the Yanai connection to this tefillah. The first theme is something that struck me mamish this year or last year for the very first time. And that is, I told you that the tefillah was originally meant to be recited for Rosh Hashanah, only on Rosh Hashanah. What are the major themes on Rosh Hashanah? What are the themes in the davening that are uniquely representative of Rosh Hashanah? So we know that there are 19 brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei all the time, and on Shabbos and Shalosh Regalim there's 7 brachas, and on Musaf on Rosh Hashanah there are 9 brachas. What are the 9 brachas of the Musaf on Rosh Hashanah? The first 3 and the last 3, and then the middle, Malchios, Achronos, and Shofar. So lo and behold, if you look at the Nisan HaTokef, Nisan HaTokef is built around Malchios, Achronos, and Shofar. When Nisan HaTokef, Kedusha, Sayom, go back to page 1, Kihuno, Rova, Ayom, Lubo, Tinase, Malchusecha. So the first thing we mention is Malchios. Skip a line, Emesatu, Daina, Mochiach, Biodea, Vaizachose, Vachosem, Visiskor, Kol, Anishkachos, Visiftach, Zefer, Zichronos. Next is Zichronos. Mail of Yakar Vachosim Yadkol on the bone. Next, Uba Shofar Gadol Yitaka. So Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros are central to the binyan, to the whole piyut of Unasan HaTokef. And it makes a great deal of sense because originally it was meant to be recited in the middle of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. It was meant to be recited in the middle of Musaf and Rosh Hashanah. It was only later on, I told you, when it came to Poland, hundreds of years later, when it was also associated with Yom Kippur. And we say it, Ada Yom Hazeh, also on Yom Kippur. Why do we say it on Yom Kippur? Because it represents graphically Yom HaDin, everything that Yom HaDin represents. That even the Malachim Yechafezim, that Oven Lefanecha Kivnei Maron, Hinei Yom HaDin. The Yom HaDin aspect is so starkly represented here that it was deemed, considered appropriate also for Yom Kippur. But originally, it was only on Rosh Hashanah, and that's reflected in the Malchios, the Chronos, and Shofros elements, which are not part of the Yom Kippur davening. Ask me questions at the end, I'll be happy to stay as long as you want. I want to move now to the second theme. So the first theme is, and when I realized this, I was jumping up and down. It was like, for 50 years of my life, I'm saying on the Nisan HaTokef, and I never realized this. And then here it is, it's right under my nose. And it added to the appreciation and the understanding of this tefillah that it's rooted in a place surrounded bedafka by the themes that are highlighted in the very first few lines of this tefillah. The second theme that I want to mention is the universalism of this tefillah. Nowhere does it talk about the Jews. There's not a word here about the Jewish people. There's a word here only about the entire human race. What do we say in the text? V'chosam yad kol adam bo. What do we say in the text? V'chol bo'ay olam yavar lefanecha kivnei maru. That of course on Rosh Hashanah we think about ourselves. And of course on Rosh Hashanah we think about our families. And of course on Rosh Hashanah we think about our communities. And of course on Rosh Hashanah we think about Kal Yisrael. But of course on Rosh Hashanah we also have to think about the whole world. And the whole world has begun to really impinge on us, bedafka, now, with this hurricane and that hurricane and what's going on in Iraq, somehow the world is sticking itself under our noses. So we need to think about that. That's also appropriate on Rosh Hashanah. And if you look in the davening on page 3 in Zichronos, what do we talk about when we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers? Va'al ha'medinos bo ye'yomer ezo lacher ve'ezo lashomer. Ki zecher in the second paragraph, kol ha'yitzur lefanecha bo. When it says Va'al ha'medinos bo ye'yomer, it's not a reference to Medinat Yisrael. It's not Shayach. It's not a reference to Medino where Jews live. It's ha'medinos bo ye'yomer. Ki zecher kol ha'yitzur lefanecha bo. Beginning of the next paragraph, ki zecher kol ha'masim lefanecha bo. It's a din in universalism. It's not a din only in the Jewish people. So the tefillah that we see as central, as representing the clear statement of what Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is all about, is not a Jewish statement. It's a statement that has to do with V'chol Bo'ei Olam. This notion actually reflects itself in a very interesting kasha of the Ran. If you look on page 4, I xeroxed for you. The Ran asks an Eisen Akasha. And I thought about it for a long time, and then when I fell on the Ran, I felt like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a tremendous gift. The Ran on the Rif, page 4, I xeroxed the Rif. So the Rif quotes from the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. So you think that Judgment Day is only one day a year? So Taka Judgment Day is 4 days a year. So this is from the Rif, but this is the Lashon of the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. On page 4. The Pesach HaLachua, by Tzeres HaPeres HaYilan, Rosh Hashanah, called by Olam Orvin Lefanav Kivnei Mara. So this phrase that we have in Unasan HaTokef, lo and behold, It's a Mishnah Mefureshes in Rosh Hashanah. And what's the fourth one? Ubechag Nidonin Al Hamayim. So there are 4 days of judgment. On Pesach for wheat, and on what? Shavuos for fruit, and Rosh Hashanah for Kol Bo'ei Olam, and on Sukkot for Mayim. Frek the Ran as follows, V'yesh L'shom. It's about 5 lines before the first underline in the Ran. Towards the end of the line. V'yesh L'shom. Yes, an Eisen Akash. Who was the Ran? Who was Rabbeinu Nissim? Who was the Rif? When did the Rif live? What was his name? What does Rif stand for?
Yitzhak Alfasi.
Yitzhak Alfasi. So it's not the Riyah. It's not the Riyah Alfasi, but the Rif. Rabbi Yitzhak Fasi. Probably lived in Fez. Probably lived in Fez. He wasn't born in Fez. He lived in Fez most of his life. Then somebody was malshin him. So then at the end of his life, he fled from Fez to Spain. He became a Rosh Yeshiva in Spain. By the time he came to Spain, Spanish Jews were very makbid on their covet. But yet they made him Rosh Yeshiva because he had such a tremendous reputation. So most of his life he probably lived in Fez, in Morocco. And then he went to Spain, and he lived in the 11th century, Yitzhak Alfasi. Who was Rabbeinu Nissim? There were a number of Rabbeinu Nissims, but who's this Rabbeinu Nissim? This Rabbeinu Nissim lived in Spain in the 14th century. 14th century Spain, a parish on the Rif. Frecht the Ran. V'yesh L'shom. Lama Adam Nidon B'Rosh Hashanah Yosim B'Bishayah. It's an Eisenach question. Why is Rosh Hashanah Epes Ayachsen? That Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the year, or the Aleph Tishrei, should be a day on which human beings are judged. Why? Why is it more significant to be judged than any other day? Why aren't they judged on the 17th of Cheshvan? Or on the 28th of Iyar? Why? Why Dafka Rosh Hashanah? The Bishlom Mishar Dvarim. I understand the other three judgments. The Hainu Tvua Peros Ilonu Mayim. Everything makes sense agriculturally. It fits agriculturally. Why? Because the Gemara says that the Pesach zman tvuahu, v'atzeres zman peres ha'ilon, v'chad zman gishmei shana. So if Pesach is the time of wheat, so Mamela, I understand that this is the time when I'm judged how much wheat I'm going to have. And if Shavuos agriculturally is the time of fruit, so I understand this is the time when I'm judged for fruit, and if Sukkot is the rainy season, so I understand this is the time that I'm judged for rain. But Aval Adam, Lama Hanidam Rosh Hashanah Yosim Bishar Yamin. We take it, it's like Aleph Beis for us that Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. Right? We just take it as a matter of course, we don't even think about it. But he's asking a good question. Why? Why Dafka this day? Why not any other day? The other judgments I understand, they're rooted in something that makes sense. But what's going on here? Vos epis ma yom yomayim. Why is this day better than any other day for judgment? V'tiretz. Davrezel amadnu midegarsina b'psikta. The psikta says, B'shem Rabbi Eliezer, on the pasuk of Dirshu Hashem b'imatzo, the saga. V'eser v'chamisha v'elul nivra olam. The world was created on the 25th of Elul. Interesting fact. The world was created on the 25th of Elul, Yom Shenivra Bo HaOlam. So my wife and I got married on the 25th of Elul, and on our wedding invitations, we wrote 25th of Elul, Yom Shenivra Bo HaOlam. We thought it was like such a sweet thing to put on our wedding invitation. You know, the whole world was being created. The world was created on the 25th of Elul. It's many years ago, but at the time Lik Menachem Moel, I still remember the schmack of writing on the wedding invitation, Yom Shenivra Bo HaOlam. So Mechafeh Notza Psikta. Psikta says that on the 25th of El, the world was created. No, so you make a cheshem, take off your shoes and socks, you make a cheshem. If 25th of El is day 1, so 26th of El is day 2, and 27th of El is day 3, and 28th of El is day 4, and 29th of El is day 5, and El only has 29 days. So when is day 6? Day 6 is Aleph B'Tishrei. What happened on day 6 of creation? Adam Arisha was created. Right. Chamish of El Nivra Ha'ol, Lefizeh, the sign of the Gemara, the Rabbi Eliezer Omer B'Tishrei Nivra Olam. Right, the Gemara says B'Tishrei. One opinion is B'Tishrei Nivra Olam. What does it mean B'Tishrei Nivra Olam? I just told you that it was on B'Chafei B'Elul Nivra Olam. It means Al Gemar B'Riyasa Karmina, that the world was completed to be created on the first day of Tishrei. The Adam Harishon Shebo Nigmar Ha'Olam Nivra B'Yom Shishi of creation. The Hainu, what day of the month? B'Echad B'Tishrei. V'garsinon suhasam b'psikta, nimtzom omer, v'rosh Hashanah nivra adam arishon. Now the psikta lots the chayis and tells you the full schedule of Adam Arishon on his first day in this world. What happened on that sixth day of creation? Shah Rishon Allah b'machshava. On the first hour, Hashem decided he wanted to create Adam. Now what does Hashem do? What's the big word? Process. Hashem decides, no, can't do. It's to call in the chevra, call in the chabur. Who's the chabur? The malach. He checks with the malach. So parenthetically, famous medrash, Tzatzach Gittin of Tishan of Bek. There was wild up there. Malachim, this one says, you should create. This one says, you shouldn't create. This one says, Yibare, because Kulo Gom Lechasad. And this one says, Al Yibare, because Kulo Dovre Shkare. Emes says, don't create. And Chesed says, do create. And they're fighting Setitzach Lebedik until the Medrash says, Hishlech Emes Orza, and Hashem went ahead and he created the world. Emes Me Eretz Titzmach. Get rid of MS, even though it's MS Taka, should not create human beings, but he decided to create them. That's the second hour. In the second hour, Tzatzach Gittin Leibedik, he was Nisya'eitz in Malachi Ashaz. Bishloshim, in the third hour, Kinei Safar, he gathered together the dust. You remember the Medrash, it's a Rashi in Bereshis. Where did the dust come from? So one opinion is, Me'ar Baruch Hosa Olam. The other opinion is, from the Makam HaMikdash, from Har HaMoriah. The Dalet Govloi, the Hey Rokmai, the Vav Aso Goyla. In the fourth hour, the fifth hour, the sixth hour, he formed the dust and he shaped the dust and he fashioned the dust. That from the dust is Gevurah in a human shape. Took 3 hours to work that through, and now I started with dust, and now I have a shape of a human being. But it's still a Goylum, it's still just a blob. It's a glob. What happened? The Zion Zarek Neshama. Oh, now he breathes. Now is alive, now it's a person. Beches, hichniso leganei. Bitchi is nitztave. What was the nitztave? This you can eat, this you can't eat, this you can't have, this you can't have. Ba'asira sarach. An hour later, boom, he already blew it. Sarach means he sinned. He had a busy day the first day. Right? It's all the sixth day of creation. Until the seventh hour, it didn't exist yet. Zorach by Neshama in the seventh hour. In the eighth hour, he puts him in Gan Eden. In the ninth hour, he gives him his instructions. In the tenth hour, he already violated the instructions. In the 11th hour, Bachas Esrei Nidon. B'shteim Esrei Yotze B'dimus. What does Yotze B'dimus mean? He emerged favorably. Namely, Hashem didn't withdraw the Neshama, and from the dust the Gevurah Vayter Ablob. And this is crazy. I told you what to do. You didn't do what I wanted you to do. You're out of here. Finished. Destruction. Nope. Didn't happen. He pulled him out of Gan Eden. But, Yotze B'dimus, he still had one foot to put in front of another foot. He still was able to function. He was a human being. He was able to live and exist. All this happened when? On the first day of Tishrei. Amar le'akadosh baruch. Zeh simon lebanecha. Shem Shamadato Lafana Bedin Biyom Zevi or Tsasa Bedimus, Kaha Sidin Bonecho, Leos Omdim Lafana Bedin Biyom Zevi or Tsimbedimus, Bachose Emosai, Bachode Shashvi, Bechon Bachode Shem, we can't smach, Lama Adam Nidon Rosh Hashanah, Yosu Yibishayo. Why is a person to answer the Kasha? What was the Kasha? Kasha is Vasep is my Inyan Din, Eitzel Rosh Hashanah. I understand my Inyan Din. Eitzel Pesach, I understand my Inyan Din, Tavua, Eitzel Pesach, my Inyan Din, Fruit, Eitzel Shavuos, my Inyan Din, Mayim, Eitzel Sukkos. That I understand. But my Inyan Din, Adam, Eitzel Aleph Tishrei, answer, a chesed. What an amazing chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka set it up that we should be judged on a day when we were once judged and emerged victorious. So it's a precedent for us. Why should I stop judging you on another day? I want to judge you on a day that's already built in for chesed. That's already built in. Yes, there's din, but the din is Yotze B'dimus. So it started with Adam HaRishon. It was on this day, Aleph Tishrei, that Adam HaRishon was judged, and he wasn't unscathed, but at least it was Yotze B'dimus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to do you the same. I want to give you a gift, the Simon LeBonecha. That l'dorei, dorei, 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 doreis, for all future generations, We're judged, Banecha are judged on Rosh Hashanah because we should be Samech on the same result that happened the first time judgment took place on that very same day. So that explains why Adam is Nidon v'Rosh Hashanah. The Ran continues, and you'll read it on your own. That only applies to the Mandiyomar, the Petishrei Nivraol. What about the other Mandiyomar? The other Mandiyomar says, Rabbi Yeshua says what in Gemara and Rosh Hashanah? The Nisan Nivraol is Hadra Kushal Adukhte. So what's that is Tishrei? What does Tishrei have to do with, what does Tishrei have to do with Yom HaDin? So he gives another answer. Venira Li. Right after the last underline, Sheratza Amakom Lizakas Es Yisrael B'dinam, Veratza Ladon Es Yisrael B'zman Shehukvo LeKaparo L'Slicha. Lefi Shelefi Shenesratza Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Yom HaKippurim Huk B'Yom Slicha L'Doros. Because Yom Kippur is a Yom Slicha, so Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Jews a favor and judge us at a time of Slicha. Once again, a similar kind of a line of argument that since it's already sort of mesugel. It's already Ibergigem. It has Slicha in it. So that's the time when Hashem wants to judge us when it's already pre-associated with Slicha. L'may nafkamina between these two interpretations. Not l'may nafkamina that this one holds Benissim Nivra Olam and this holds Betishra Nivra Olam. But the nafkamina is
Chalvay Olam for Yisrael.
Is it Chalvay Olam? Was it for Yisrael? Right? The first interpretation, who's Banecha of Adam Arishan? The Banecha of Adam Arishan are not the Jews only. Chalvay Olam. So therefore, who's judged? Kabay Elama judged. The Mishnah says Kabay Elama. That it's a universal element. That judgment is for all of human beings, the entire world. And Mamela, that explains why everybody is judged on Echad B'Tishrei, because the Elta Zeda of every human being was judged and emerged victorious. The second shot in the Ran, according to Rabbi Yeshua, now we're already not talking about Kabay Elama. Now we're talking about Yom Kippur hukva l'slichu mechilas klal Yisrael. Yom Kippur becoming a day of kaparis for us. And the mela, the particularism is more affected and is more reflective in the second as opposed to the first. Page 5. How many forests were destroyed and how many quills were sharpened and how much paper was expended and how much ink was spilled to answer the following question? A lot. What's the question? The question is, what does it say at the end of the Nisan HaTokev? How does it conclude?
Tshuva,
Tfilah, Tzedaka, Avir and Etzra Agzera. So count Tshuva, Tfilah, Tzedaka. How many? 1, 2, 3. It's a Beferish Gemara different. Taken Gemara on page 5 on Rosh Hashanah Tezayin Amid Beis. Zok the Heilig of Rabbi Yitzchak. Lama Rabbi Yitzchak. Dala Devar Mekar Gzar Dino Shalom. There are four things. Elohein, what are they? Tzedaka. Tzedaka, what is Tzedaka? Tfila. Shinoi Hashem. What is Shinoi Hashem? It's not a one-word answer, it's complicated. My name is Yaakov Yosef. So this year, it's Erev Rosh Hashanah. Now it's Yaakov Yosef Chaim. I changed my name to Yaakov Yosef Chaim. I'm a happy camper. I'm out of here. Hashem only knows Yaakov Yosef did Averis. He doesn't know Yaakov Yosef. He can't figure out that I'm the same guy. So it's got to be more than I just changed my name to Yaakov Yosef Chaim. So it's got to be something. But whatever it is, Shunei Hashem. So it requires a Hezber. And then, next one, the Shunei Maisa. What's Shunei Maisa? Shunei Maisa is Tshuva. So how many do we have? Four. We have tshuva, tefila, tzedaka, tshuva, shinui maisa, tefila, tzedaka, 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 and shinui
hashem.
And then the Gemara brings psukim, v'yesh omrim, first wide line, of shinui mako. Now that also requires a hezber. I used to live in Boston, and I moved to Teaneck. And I didn't leave a forwarding address. I'm home free. That's it. God will look for me in Brookline. And he won't know where I went because I moved to Teaneck. So clearly that also needs a hezber. Shinui mach doesn't mean I moved from here to there. God can't figure that out, who I am. I'm finished. So vos ligd on the Gemara. Ligd on the Gemara, there are four with a potential fifth, two of which still require an interpretation. Frek de Marsha.
Fret Aruch Haner, fret everybody. How do you jibe the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah with the Nesanat Tokev? Zok the Hele Gemara Shah, the Elo Agimel. The Gemara Shah on the blot of Tezayin Amad Bez in Rosh Hashanah. The Elo Agimel, Yosdan HaPayit, Tshuva, Tfilah, Tzdaka, Mavir, and Ezra, Agzero. Avol Shinoi Hashem, the Shinoi Mokom, the Divrei Yesh Omrim, Lo Zorchan HaPayit. Shehen gam kem avir na bzeir kedo amarach. Good question. Why do you have three if they're more than three? Good question. So the Gilgan Ashas, the Heller Rebbe Kivender, in the margin, quotes the Tshuva Sarosh. You see the Gilgan Ashas circled on the left side there. Amar Rebbe Yitzchak Dalad Dvar Mekarvin, the Tshuva Sarosh, Saif Klal, Yitzayim, Hevi, Anuscha, Gimel Dvar Mevatlan Akzeru. Af Shinei Hashem. So I Xerox the Rush for you. The Rush has a really interesting question. The question is offline, but I'm a Halchan in the Rush, so we'll learn three lines in the Rush. Mashik Asafta. Ba'adam Echad Shehemir Oviv Ladas Yishmael. His father converted to?
Islam.
When did the Rush live? Who was the Rush? His mother didn't say, no Rasha le kimaher Rasha. His name was Rabbeinu Asher. She said, Asheru. Rabbeinu Asher?
The Talmud of the Maharam
in Rotenberg, which puts him when?
13th century.
What?
13th century.
Puts him in the 13th century. When in the 13th century? The stakes are going higher. And who was his Chavrusa as a Talmud of the Maharam in Rotenberg? The Mordechai. The Heilige Mordechai in the back of the Gemara. We have to push further to the back of the Gemara to get to the Mordechai after the Rush. The Mordechai and the Rush were chavrusas in the yeshiva. They learned by the Maharam in Rotenberg. At the end of the 13th century, in 1298, there were terrible massacres. They were called the Rindfleisch massacres. The Maharam ran. You know the story with the Maharam in Rotenberg?
He was captured and forced.
And he tried to unstell himself. He tried to disguise himself. And he was captured. A Meshumid let the word out. And he was captured in Italy. And he was put into a migdal, and he was kept there, and they tried to ransom him, and he didn't want them to ransom him. The whole sugya and gittin about yosem ikedei demeim, how much money do you spend to ransom, and he died there. And then finally Rabbi Avraham Ziskind said that I will pay to ransom his body on the condition that when I die I want to be buried next to him. So kachava, if you go today to Worms, have you been to the cemetery in Worms in Germany? If you go to the Worm Cemetery, it's kim'at one tombstone. The Maharam in Rotenberg, and right next to him, I think it's Alexander Ziskind or Rav Ram Ziskind, I don't remember. So the Maharam tried to run, couldn't run. The Mordechai died al-Kiddush Hashem. The Mordechai was killed. The Heilige Mordechai died al-Kiddush Hashem. The Rush succeeded in escaping. He goes from Germany, and he goes through France, and he goes through southern France. There's a very, very famous tshuva of the Rush where he describes when he came to southern France, the minig about saying, when do you start saying the Saint Halamotor, and how early can you say it and not. He goes over the Pyrenees, down the Pyrenees, he ends up in Spain. First town he comes to is Barcelona. And he has a wonderful reunion with his old buddy, the Rashba. The Rashba is the chief rabbi of Barcelona at the beginning of the 14th century. And he spends 6-8 months with the Rashba in Barcelona. Then he leaves Barcelona and he goes where? He goes to Toledo, not Toledo. That's in Ohio. He goes to Toledo and he becomes the chief rabbi in Toledo. And he dies in 1325. So the Rush is fascinating because the first half of his life he's living in Ashkenaz and gepokt and gemuzzled in Ashkenaz. He's one of the Balei HaTosfos. And then he ends up, the last 25 years of his life, ends up in Sfarad. He ends up to be a Rashka Bahagi. He's the chief rabbi of Spain, in Toledo. So he is one person who encapsulates both Ashkenaz and Sfarad in the same person. We should never think that in the Middle Ages they were totally separate from one another. So he tells a story about Islam. I only mention this because this tshuva was probably written, and there's a lot of discussion about this, in the second half of his life. So which tshuvas of the Rush did he write in Ashkenaz? And which tshuvas of the Rush did he write in Sfarad? Which chidushim of the Rush on which mesechta did he write when? Because there were two distinct phases in his life. And it's important because you want to know if he wrote it in an Ashkenazi world, or he wrote it in the Sephardi world. So this apparently he wrote in Spain. This Adam, his name was Yosef ben Shimon, his father's name was Shimon. He used to refer to himself as Yosef ben Shmuel. Yosef ben Shimon, Shimon Nebuchadnezzar, I'm a Shimon. I don't want to be known as Yosef ben Shimon. Shimon is out of here. I'm embarrassed by Shimon's behavior. So I changed my name. Not I changed my name. I changed my father's name. Ich bin no longer Yosef ben Shimon. I'm now Yosef ben Shimon. Liyamim Nebuch Girish es Ishto, but also Shem HaChadosh. And in the get state what? Yosef ben Shmuel. V'chshir HaGet. Tamani is up to Rush. I can't figure out how could they be machshir this get? How could they allow the get to refer to his father's name by the new name that the son gave him after the father converted to Islam? Ah, from you, Chaladam L'shamesh Eshma V'likrash Lo Shem Acher. Even though somebody is allowed to do that, but whose name are you allowed to change?
Your own
name, not my father's name. How do you know you're allowed to change your name? Kedam Rinon. Read the next word. Ooh. Shlosha. Dvar Mevatan Asazer. What does our Musaf in the Gemara have? Dalet Dvar Mekan Asazer. If you look at the Aruch Lener on page 6, we don't have time for the Aruch Lener. The Hilag Aruch Lener. Next time, if I'll be invited to come back, and if you'll be here, we'll talk about the Aruch Lener. His mother didn't say Aruch Lenerala. Aruch Lenerala. Kimaher Aruch Lenerala. He had a name. What was his name? Yaakov. Thank you. Okay. So the Aruch Lener also has a longer riches to for the Marshal's Kasha. But Lefia Nias Daiti, the Kasha is no Kasha. Lefia Nias Daiti, the Kasha never was a Kasha. And all of the ink and the paper certainly taught us a great deal. But the Kasha is no Kasha. Because where was the Nusana Tokef written? In Eretz Yisrael. It was written by Yanai in the 6th century. Eretz Yisrael is bound by which Talmud? By not Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi. Rosh Date and Talmud Yerushalmi in the middle of page 6. Amar Rav Elazar. So Beferish Yerushalmi. Gimel Devarim Mevatan Es HaGzeira Kasha. Elohein, Tefillah, Tzedakah, Tshuva. Leaving aside the question of order, which I might add is a significant question, but leaving aside the question of order, here we are. Gimel Devarim. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. Tzedakah, tefillah, tshuva. End of discussion. There is no reason in the world why a nesanet tokef should be bound by Vushtet and Bavli. It's an eisen akasha, but it's not akasha. It's bechlal not akasha. A nesanet tokef comes from Eretz Yisrael. It's bound by Eretz Yisrael, and it's a befeirish Yerushalmi. That mentions only these three, finished. End of discussion. And if you look below, Medrash Bereishis Rabbah also comes from Eretz Yisrael. It has been identified that Medrash Rabbah and Bereishis is an Eretz Yisrael document. Vashtei, Shloshet Varim, Ravatim, Zeros Rav. Ve'elohem, Tefillah, Tzedakah, Tshuva. End of discussion, no question. I mean, it's not at all a question. So the Ala Lamdis and the Marsha has two answers, and the Aruch Lener is wonderful. It's wonderful, it teaches us a lot, but it's unnecessary. Because the Kasha is not a Kasha. Because this is written in this world, and this is written in this world, and what's written in this world is not bound by what's written in this world. If you don't know that Onesana Tokov is written in Eretz Yisrael, it's a stark Kasha. In our world, and in the world of the Rishonim, the Talmud Bavli reigns supreme. Everything had to fit with the Talmud Bavli. How can you have a stira with the Talmud Bavli? It's a Beferish Gemara. It can't be. But if you realize that it's not from the world governed by Talmud Bavli, historically, it's not a Kasha. So this to me is such an incredible example where history is important to understand in terms of our learning. That in terms of our learning, if we know history, it's helpful because it sheds an entirely different light on the entire discussion. Which leaves me with 2 minutes, I'll answer your question after. To the last page. What does it mean, Kol Bai Olam Oven Lefanecha Kivnei Mono? So I xerox for you on page 7 of the Mishnah. which we saw already earlier. Where did we see it earlier? Where did we see the Mishnah earlier? In the Rif. The Rif quoted the Mishnah. So here you have Kol Bayolam Ul Panechamim. Fekti Gemara Shani Chesam Alf, bottom of page 7. Ma Kivnei Maro. What does it mean, Kivnei Maro? So how do you translate Kol Bayolam over Lefanach Kivnei Maro? We all pass before you like sheep. Like sheep. What does it mean, like sheep? What's the image that's conjured up when you say like sheep?
Like Maisa Behemoth.
What? Like Maisa Behemoth. Like counted?
Under the staff.
Under the staff. No, so what Maisa Behemoth?
The 10th one gets...
So what does that mean? So is it the... What is it?
One by one.
One by one. Oh, one by one. The 10th gets zapped, but it's not the zap that I am now conjuring up. I'm conjuring up
the one by one.
Single file. I'm conjuring up single file. What am I conjuring up? I can't hide behind Yenim. I wish I could hide behind Yenim. Yenim's a fine yid. Yenim doesn't miss a minion. Yenim does daf yomi. Yenim gives tzedakah. Yenim is an ish chesed. Yenim has a wonderful family of B'nai Torah. I want to hide behind Yenim. Because Yich Nebuch, I'm not holding. If I can hide behind Yenim, then I have a shot. Forget about it. Forget about it. You can't hide behind anybody. Because we're over in Kivnei Mara. Frak the Gemara, my Kivnei Mara. The Gemara gives three answers. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah gives three answers. Hocha Targimu Kivnei Imrina. Kivnei Imrina Rashi. That's what we heard from these two wonderful and distinguished gentlemen a moment ago. Rashi Kivnei Imrina, first line. Kikvasim Shemonin Osan La'asran. We count the sheeps for Maiser Behema. V'yotzin Zeb. Achak Zeb the Pesach Katan, they go through a narrow aperture, one after the other. She'en Yecholin Lotzes Keachat. They can't all go out at one time. If they go out at one time, you lose Cheshbon. You can't figure out who's the 10th. Back to the Gemara. Reish Lakish Amar Kimalos Beis Mara, like the steps, the steps in Beis Mara. What's a din in the steps in Beis Mara? Rashi Haderach Katzer Ve'en Shnayin Yecholin Leilech Zeb Betzad Zeb. It's very narrow. If you go side by side, you're going to fall off the edge. Viter nachamo, single file. Answer, third Gemara, Amar of Yudah Meshmuel, Kechayola Shal Beis David. What's Kechayola Shal Beis David? Rashi, Uchi B'nei Maron, means Kevenei Chayola Shal Melech, Kach Hayu Monin Osam, Yotz In Zeh Achar Zeh B'tzeh Sol Memuchah. When they used to go out, they used to have to figure out the cheshma, how many people are going out to fight, and it's one man. What do they all have in common? Single file. And if I had time, I would invite you to consider, why do you need three different interpretations to conjure up the same image? If each one is single file, thus leg two, one to the other. And it's interesting, but it's single file. So we go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, single file. And we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant all of us and our families and Klal Yisrael and the entire world a tzibach simchat.